Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
From the 30 on first down, Mullins steps up, he throws, it is picked off! Melifonwu with the exclamation point for the Detroit Lions today!
Kool-Aid drinkers and NFC North champions!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back and better than ever, recording the day after Christmas, and we got the best Christmas gift we could possibly receive. The first Lions NFC North championship in history, the first division championship in 30 years. Just incredible. We're going to get into the game and everything, but before we just get into all this fun stuff, let's just introduce the Blue Coolie crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the other two. We got UJ.
Hello, happy Lions fan. That can't be as happy as me because I'm really happy.
And then Red Dog.
Yo, let's go.
So obviously 1993, the last time the Lions won the division. It's been 30 years. And these are the lists. I just want to go over the list of coaches really quick that have come through the building since Wayne Fonts. Bobby Ross, Gary Muller. UJ, you might know some of these before I do, or maybe
yes, I remember them all.
To an extent. Marty Mordenwig, a classic.
Oh god, remember he chose the wind.
That was the first one I think I remember.
Win the coin
Marty
toss,
Mordenwig, and the coin toss in overtime against the Bears. He chose the wind.
That was so wild.
Steve Mariucci, Dick Duran, Rod Marinelli, always a good one. Jim Schwartz, a guy that, you know, we'll
could have been somebody.
Could have been somebody. UJ's favorite, yeah. Jim Caldwell.
Oh, please. Let's forget about Caldwell.
And then a guy that maybe we should thank in a way, even though we shouldn't, is Matt Patricia. And then Darren Bevell was an interim head coach. And then, of course, Dan Campbell. The reason I want to say that we should thank Matt Patricia is that he was so bad and the way they ran everything was so opposite of what we have now that the Lions leadership decided to do the complete opposite of how him and Bob Quinn ran everything. And it's led to what we have now. So, because if that didn't happen, maybe it was like a middle ground somewhere. Maybe the Lions don't take that approach necessarily.
You know what, Z? That is very, very good observation. It's like the alcoholic, you know, you're not going to change until you hit rock bottom, right? You just got to hit. And Patricia was rock bottom, baby.
But here's the thing.
Good observation.
The Lions have hit rock bottom several times on the way here. Since
not
then.
Like that, though.
Patricia
no, hey.
Was even dirtier than 0-16, if you ask me. I have more respect for Rod Marinelli.
Well, 0-16, we just had no talent on team
by design
whatsoever. It was really bad. I mean, a dearth of
this is only the fourth time in 30 years Lions have hit double digits in the win category, too. And we were talking about right before we hopped on the pod, the Lions have only won 12 wins in a single season once in their history. That was in 1991 when they lost in the conference championship. This would be the second time in Lions history if they were to win one of the next two games. That's pretty wild in itself. The Lions playoff history in those 30 years, they lost in a wild card in 94, 95, 97, 99, and then a long period. Then they lost in 2011 in the wild card round, 2014 in the wild card round, 2016 wild card round. Obviously, in the Super Bowl era, the Lions have won one playoff game. That was in 91.
Wow. Wow. And not a championship in my lifetime. And I was born in 1957, the year of their last championship. And then.
Nothing. So you're the curse, so, UJ. We have.
You can blame me if you want. But. Well,
this is a championship of sorts, right? The division.
It definitely gets a banner in the stadium. Like,
we're champs.
Yeah, not playoffs this time.
Not playoffs. NFC North champions. You get a banner for it, at least.
Like, it's so monumental. Like, think about all those wild card losses we had over that time. Like, that includes that season where we like had a commanding lead and everything, and then like tanked down the stretch to a wild card spot and lost to the Packers in the final game. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is so, like, this is such a big deal. It can't be overstated how big of a deal winning that. This was goal one. This was goal one for the season. Everything else is really gravy, but there are some more monkeys yet.
And you could, I mean, the emotion on the field, especially from the likes of Decker and Ragnow, especially Decker is more public about it. But, you know, he said there's a lot of tears and stuff like that. Dan Campbell had a great speech in the locker room. He brought up the old guard to the middle of the locker room. They got big tears. Sewell looked super pumped for those guys. You can tell they have the great genuine respect between each other. And this is part of that culture that they built. And part of the reason they don't bring in certain guys, like people. I mean, there's still people clamoring for, you know, why didn't we trade or draft Jalen Carter or things of that nature. They have meticulously, carefully built this culture. Yes. And arguably they've done it faster than anybody expected. Like, these are 6-year contracts. We've talked about this multiple times on the pod.
I'm just going to throw this in there too, Big Z.
Yeah.
You talk about the old guard, you know, and Rudd Dog and I talked about this ad nauseum for years, how we wanted Stafford to see this one out, you know, win a championship in Detroit. And he, at the last minute, unfortunately, he had enough for whatever reason. He wanted out right before the turnaround. And granted, you could make an argument that the trade actually aided our turnaround quite a bit.
It absolutely. It
probably
has.
Did.
I don't think it's
a question. But the fact is that those old guard, I just want to just really honor those guys because they did stick it out. Those guys, Decker and those guys. I mean, they did stick it out. And God damn it, it's got to feel so good. Like, to be now where they are now, it's just got to feel great because they saw the depths, man. They saw the worst of it, and now they're just it's got to feel just amazing. So to those guys, to the old guard guys who stuck it out, God bless you guys. Love you guys.
Yeah, and Z, you know, you mentioned that point about building this culture meticulously, and I think Jalen Carter is a great example. But like, I think this team, there's no doubt in my mind that this team, Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, Sheila, they know exactly what really matters in football, and talent's a huge part of it. And they aren't ignorant to that, but like the culture, the mindset, the shared vision, the buy-in, that's what creates championship teams. That's what great teams, like all these teams are amazing athletic wise. Every NFL team has insanely gifted athletes, but like you make like good teams great by getting everyone into that culture, that buy-in. And so like, I agree, like there's no room for, you know, potential deviance because they're talented. Like, they went for someone who's making a big impact, by the way, in Jahmyr Gibbs. And I ain't mad about that one bit.
We'll get to him later.
but yeah, you're right. Meticulously is a really good word. And these guys know exactly what they're doing. And now we have as good a shot at taking it all as anybody.
And arguably the one thing that wasn't, I guess, quote unquote, meticulous is that, you know, I was listening to the M Live podcast and they brought up an anecdote that I forgot about, you know, Brad Holmes was hired first in this organization. He was part of the head coaching interviews. And 10 minutes into the interview, he wrote down a piece of paper, like handed it over to, I think it was Spielman or Rod Wood, or I forgot who he handed it over. Either way, he said, "This is our guy." 10 minutes into the Dan Campbell interview. He already knew that Dan Campbell was going to be the guy that they wanted to hire 10 minutes into the conversation.
I never heard that story, actually.
I thought they were hired together, basically. I didn't realize that.
So he was hired first. I didn't either. So I thought that was awesome. I thought those were really cool. And I can't remember.
I didn't know that.
Either way,
no, I didn't realize he had a say in it, actually. But
and that was the only place he interviewed. He only interviewed one place. It was with the Lions. A lot of people thought, you know, Robert Saleh, with his connections to Michigan and stuff, were going to come over here. And look how that's turned out in New York.
How cool.
They can't develop a quarterback to save their life. And the Lions have done on both ends. That's what I think what the Campbell, you know, effect is going to do throughout the league is they're going to hire more personality type people that can lead. Like, they're not. First of all, I'm not undercutting Dan Campbell's X's and O's, because I think Dan Campbell is a major impact on the offense that does not get talked about enough. Everybody gives Ben Johnson the credit, but this offense does not operate without Dan Campbell's sign off. and especially the roster construction, too. The roster construction is 50-50 between Campbell and Brad Holmes. Dan Campbell has a bigger say, I think, in roster decisions than people realize as well. But
they're very synergistic together. They're working hand in hand.
And again, that goes into culture and everything like that. But I mean, just remarkable. I shed a tear for sure after the win. It was beautiful, especially the way this game was going.
Well, they said white men can't jump, but you should have seen me when they. I got some air, baby. I was jumping up and down.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much.
Awesome.
It was a great victory. This is a great moment, and you know, let's get in the game in a moment.
That's one.
Yeah, this is the first step. I mean, and
that's one, baby.
This is a season of a ton of parity, and you know, the Lions. This is year three, like expectations, etc. But the Lions could win this thing. That's what.
They could. Absolutely.
Literally. There's no reason why they can't. The Eagles look like a shell of themselves. And the 49ers just proved last night that they're extremely beatable. Brock Purdy, if you get any pressure on whatsoever, becomes a different quarterback. So the 49ers got to be completely healthy to be their best, like any team, I guess, in the NFL. But they are really star reliant. Like, if they go to their, they lack depth because they're more top heavy in terms of their roster construction. And you saw that last night, they had some O-linemen missing. The Ravens got after him, beat him down. And with that result, it's now a three-way tie for the one seed with 3-11-4 records, 49ers, whoa, Eagles, and Lions.
See, who would have thought that?
I missed the game last night.
I was wondering how the last two games are going to go because, you know, are they going to rest guys? But now we're playing for a one
absolutely
seed.
Yeah. And so the 49ers have the best conference record between the three, even with the two remaining games if they were to lose. They would still have that tiebreaker. So the Lions need some help in terms of the 49ers losing. And the Lions, first of all, the Lions need to win out to get the one seed. But the 49ers play Washington next week. That's probably a win for them. That's one of the worst teams in the NFL by far. And then they do play the Rams the last game of the season. The Rams will be fighting for a playoff spot. That could be the one.
Could be.
The Eagles
11-4. Hey, do they have their division locked up?
The 49ers? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. They do.
Yeah, they do.
And then the Eagles at 11-4, they play the Giants one more time, and I forgot where they play this week. But either way, if the Lions win out, they will have the common opponent's record better than the Cowboys, and they would overpass them for the two seed. Right now, the Eagles in the two seed, but if the Lions win out, they would overtake them, even if the Eagles won out as well. So the Lions control their own destiny, at least for the two seed.
What's the farthest we can fall?
Three. We're locked in at three, no matter what. Yeah. So, and right now that would be the Rams. We would play the Rams, which would be just an absolute wild storyline.
You don't think the NFL doesn't want that?
I know. Conspiracies will be run amok.
It's like poetry.
I know.
And then the Seahawks are the seventh seed. Cowboys are probably firmly in the five seed at this point. You know, we're playing them on Saturday. That's a big game, especially for us and for the. I mean, the Cowboys are on a slide right now, and they can't beat a winning team. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens there. But either way, the Lions control their destiny for the two seed. The one seed, they need a little bit of help from the Commanders or the Rams. But either way, great spot to be, nonetheless.
Absolutely.
Just
I kind of like the pressure. I kind of like that. There's not a chance to take the foot off the gas now.
Right.
I feel like we were hitting our stride, and like a rest game, I don't know. That just has time to like fret. I don't know. I'd rather have the race going hot all the way to the end of the year playing for something. If we get the one seed, great. If we get the two seed, great. If we get the three seed, great. It doesn't matter at this point. But I like the idea that there's something to play for in the season to keep just freaking pumping this thing to, you know, on the up route that we're in. And because, oh, man, like this team is playing – hitting their stride at the perfect time. And there's still so much clearly left in the tank and what we're capable of.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Just really fun to be playing for the one CO2 games left in the season.
No kidding.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Amazing.
So this game, Lions win 30-24. It was an up and down game for sure. Hard stopping at the end. Justin Jefferson just grabbing everything within his possible reach. No matter who's throwing him the football, that man is an absolute beast.
Yeah, he is. He is.
But this is a Vikings team that was, like I said in the preview podcast, giving up 15 points per game since week 7. One of the best defenses in the NFL. Jared Goff has had horrible stats against Brian Flores' defenses leading into this game. And all that went out the window because this Lions offense is firing on all cylinders. A healthy offensive line. Can't stress enough how huge that is, especially having Frank Ragnow in there. Go look up. Nate Tice posted something cool about Frank Ragnow being MVP of the Lions offense. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to argue because
case can be made.
I mean, when he's healthy, you can shift Glasgow over to guard where he's much better. And just the obviously just even command of the offensive line and the calls and the shifts and the protection and stuff like that. It operates seamlessly between him and Goff.
He's the kind of guy totally worthy of that name. Like, he is the center of that offense. Yeah. Like, he is the first brick, the first guy to touch the ball every play. Like, and he's so damn good. And so, yeah, when he's there, we are obviously a better offense. It's not even close.
Hey, Big Z, the Vikings were great against the rush, right? Coming into this game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Danielle Hunter's like tied for the league.
And what do we have? 147 yards, something like that? And then
rushing? 143 yeah. Rushing.
143. Sorry. I was close. But I mean, we shredded them pretty well. Pretty good. I mean, on the ground. And that is our strength, too. And with this line healthy, good Lord.
And with Ja,
we can go far. Seriously. In this league, you've seen, like you said, the other teams that we're going up against, the Eagles, they look beatable. Their defense is definitely beatable. The Niners are tough, but we've seen what we can do against good defenses when our offense is clicking.
Definitely.
And we can beat anybody, anybody.
And the Lions almost had a 2-1 advantage in time of possession this game. It felt like they're on the field the entire game, which is just insane that the Lions almost gave them a chance to win at the end of this game. 4 turnovers, 2-1 time possession, almost blew it at the end, but they didn't. They didn't. But I'm just saying, kind of wild.
Yeah, we had our one turnover.
And we did.
Yeah,
fortuitously get a little help from the refs in this game. I think I know there were calls on both sides. Okay, but there was a couple really key calls that went our way, and I'm not complaining, mind you.
Yeah, the third
because they went our
third
way.
Third and long, I believe, was a big one.
The third and long with the rough and the passer was just a joke of a call. I'm sorry, it was a terrible.
I agree.
I think the ref was in a position where it could look bad because he was like behind Goff.
He hit his face mask.
Well, whatever. It was a horrible call.
I don't think he hit his face. I think it hit his shoulder.
You know what, UJ? I'm going to disagree this time and say good call by the refs. By these stupid ticky-tack rules that they made up.
We love officiating in NFL. We have nothing but great things to say about it on this
podcast. Oh, yeah, right.
Look, like, the way these rules are now, the rules just suck. But you know what? They called that one by the letter, and I'll take it.
You know, it's a wild one in the NFL. Ever since that offsides and that Bills-Chiefs game, offensive offsides has just gone bananas throughout the NFL. I don't know what is going on. I've never seen this many offensive offsides.
I know. I've never seen it till this year. Usually offsides is strictly a defensive call. But, yeah. I mean,
I've seen it at least 10 times in the last 4 weeks.
It's just a generally lazy focus thing. Though I don't know what Raymond was doing there. Like, the receivers are always supposed to check with the side ref. I don't know how he forgot that.
Something's going on, though, because it's happening way more often than usual. Like,
well, you know, they probably made an emphasis on it. Someone probably made up a point that, like, you're missing a ton of
it's
them.
It's
got to
be.
And,
yeah.
And then, because, like, the thing is, those refs can only see so much on the field. So they do have to kind of make an emphasis on what areas they might be lacking from, you know, week to week, month to month, if, like, they notice. I'm sure someone reviews that stuff and is like, look at all these calls you're missing.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And it's so, I mean, yeah, you're going to get those like waves of random, like PI will be up during chunks and like,
hey, but let's face it though. Over the years, we've been the victims of horrible officiating.
Yes.
I mean, and
absolutely. Yeah.
If karma's turned in our direction, okay, that's all right. Not a bad thing. Whatever, we rolled it. But like Dan Campbell said it the best, but he told all these guys, the refs, it doesn't matter what the refs do. We have to win the game no matter what. And I think these guys don't worry about ref calls at all, ever. It's just whatever happens, happens. They go with it. And he's got that in their heads and not going to let the refs beat us.
So I want to jump into something really quick that I thought was awesome in this game and just highlights, you know, the draft class that we had coming in this year, their impact on this team. But the way this team responds to things, and it happened twice in this game. Gibbs fumbles early in this game, and then after that, just lights it up. he has the most 20-yard runs in the league. He averaged 5.3 a carry in this game as well. The man is
Did he hit off 20 this game?
He did. He had a long 18 in this game, but he still averaged 5.3 a carry.
And his career longest is like 36 or something like that. He hasn't broken the really long.
No.
But I'll tell you what, I just want to say it again. We have a superstar, okay? Gibbs is a fucking superstar. This kid is otherworldly good. So enjoy it, Lions fans. That's all I can say, because this kid is something. He's something to be old.
And UJ mocked him to us in his mock draft, so kudos.
But he makes it look easy, Gibbs does. Like, he gets tackled, he gets up after every play. He just drops the ball, you know, like, sort of not quite Barry-ish. When he scores a touchdown, he just drops the ball in the end zone. He doesn't hand it to the ref like Barry did, but he doesn't make a big show, doesn't slam in the ground and all that shit. He does a little dance and bullshit at the end, but you know. but he definitely looks like he's done it before, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he makes it
He's done it 9 times or something like that.
He makes everything look easy. That's all I'm saying. He makes it look easy, damn.
He does. He's so fast.
And then the other one was Brian Branch. He drops a key interception near the goal line. Just brutal, right in his lap. And we've seen him, you know, catch a lot this year. But then he responds later, gets the pick, gets a sack, and just
the one he shouldn't have picked off.
Yep, the pick when he should have just batted it down.
Yeah,
costs us 30 yards on the field. Yeah, okay. That's okay though. It's okay, man. Don't
worry about it. Securing the ball is never a bad thing. You know, you tip it, maybe he catches it. You know.
Good point.
But right. I mean, I think the one he missed was too easy. He's used to snagging those ones, and like when they're like off his hip and like stuff. That one went like right into his belly. That's too hard. You know?
Yeah.
But I thought he played great after that.
Absolutely.
That one pass breakup he had over the middle, where the ball, he timed it so perfectly, just knocked the ball out of dude's hands. That was excellent.
So I love the response from our two rookies. You know, messing up early and coming back and playing with a vengeance throughout the rest of the game. I thought that was really cool to see.
And Z, your insults to Kirby Joseph paid off. He heard you, and he showed up for that game.
He played a great game in this one. Finally showed up, two interceptions, including celebrating immediately after catching it while he was in the...
I know, he's...
returning the ball.
I was confused at first. I'm
like,
clown.
Calling to somebody something? No, like it was what it looked like. It was a celebration. It was very bizarre. He's an enigma, that one. But
I thought that was about to get like hacked out of his hand and like go right back to them, and we were gonna be like, what the?
Two interceptions. Just read it really well on Nick Mullins in this game. Nick Mullins, you know, 400 yards, four key interceptions, that's the reason why a lot of teams don't want him. And there was other plays. Nick Mullins' lines probably, we mentioned a Branch one. There's some other plays in this game where he just needs to throw it away, and he doesn't. He just can't help himself. That's the problem last week, too, for them. But anyways.
Yeah.
They're living off his deep ball. So, I mean, it's only...
Yeah, well, the announcers in that game sucked, I'll just say. But they did say one thing right. And I think Kirby did bait him on that one interception, though. I think Kirby laid off just enough to look like he was open. And I think he made the right call on that one. And Kirby came across.
UJ. The Lions hand the ball off to David Montgomery. He takes three steps and lateral, like, throws a bullet to the outside laterally.
Yeah, I know.
And they act like it was a 2-yard carry. I'm like, what is going on?
I know.
The running back took a handoff and threw it across the field to the wide receiver. And there's no emotion out of them. I was
none
so
at
confused.
All.
No reaction.
That was the one. Like, there's some announcers like Steve Levy who like act like every play is the greatest play, and then it kind of loses its luster. But
Right.
At certain times, you got to like get excited about what you're watching. That is something unique that you don't see often, if at all.
That was an awesome play.
It was a cool play design that didn't quite work because it missed block. But I just could not believe like the announcers being so ho-hum about a play that unique.
Yeah, they were... Okay, the announcers were really, like, they were dry. They didn't, like you said, they didn't react, like, but like, they made this, like, sort of forced objectivity. They were complimenting the Lions, and but it was, like, really dry whenever they said it, like, oh, Goff is going to be really good down here in the red zone. And then, like, you'd always hear that little more, like, fervor, like, oh, Justin Jefferson, he's the greatest receiver alive. And, like, they had, like, I think they had a bias for the Vikings a little bit, and they just weren't very good in general.
No, they were horrible. But
the best one was when they said Hutch did a spin move, and they go, oh, he's never done that one before. Something like that. I go, what do you, have you been watching the Lions? He does spin moves every play almost. Yeah.
Wait, Hutch does spin moves?
Yeah, didn't you hear?
But with the play, you know, Kirby Joseph, this is probably his best game of the season. But when CJ Gardner-Johnson gets back, the question is, who is coming off the field? I think it's going to be Kirby Joseph, in my opinion. I'm curious what your guys are.
No.
Where does he go? Where's he going this season? That's probably the biggest talking point about the Lions defense this week.
That is a very good question.
Well, I think they're going to, I think a linebacker might come off, especially if Barnes is still hurt before Kirby Joseph does, especially the way Iffy's playing in the box. Like, you could use Iffy as a weapon.
I don't think Iffy's
You could trade him.
No,
he's playing too great. Good
right what now. A beastly effort good. From him again this week.
Yeah, man. Studley. Honestly, I think there'll be a rotation depending on personnel. I think Branch, Iffy, Kirby, and CJGJ will all be on the field together at some point, if not a good chunk of the time. Like, because like they're so versatile. Like, you don't necessarily sacrifice like both. All those guys will know Kirby and CJGJ and Iffy can play box and they can rush the passer and stuff, and they can play a little more of that run support heavy and blitz and stuff like that. So I think, like, I don't know. Like, the thing is, you could do so many different things. And so,
yeah,
like, I'm sure there'll be some of them come off at different points in time.
Well, you know, if the run isn't an issue at, then yeah, you might be right. But in a run package, if you're pulling a linebacker out the field, that's going to hurt you. But I think they'll just mix it up in a lot of ways. We're going to see all those guys on the field at some point, and they're going to be using them all. So I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know how you keep track of that.
I would guess they maybe rotate. They start Kirby and rotate in CJ just because he hasn't played in, you know, a few months.
It's hard to sit a hot hand either. Like, if he's starting to get back to his ball hawking ways.
But like, Kirby's like, you know, he takes chances. Sometimes he's rewarded. Sometimes the opposite happens. CJ Gardner's out.
Yeah, but at least this time he stayed deep.
He did.
He stayed deeper than the deepest receiver, which he has let him go by the last few weeks. And now he seems to be doing his job the right way.
I wouldn't want to mess with his confidence too much right now. He's starting to play really well.
True.
But we got a lot
this
of good guys.
This is called a good problem to have. Like,
yes, it is. Depth. Depth. It's a beautiful thing. James Houston might be close to returning here at the end of the season, the last 2 weeks.
Rod Dog must be happy about that.
That's another.
You're not? What, are you not a Lions fan or something? Like,
not
come
as happy
on.
As you, though, because you love James Houston. Like,
I love the guy that came out of nowhere for 8 sacks in 6 games last year. Like, what? Like, how do we just forget what he did for us last year? Like, I feel like fans have such a short memory and act like James Houston can't be a big freaking deal coming back. Like, for the playoffs, could we ask for a better timing? This dude is our most explosive pass rusher. Like there's no downside to having him back healthy. Like, oh my God, it's so exciting. and right now I think Aaron Glenn is hitting his stride as a coordinator too. Like, I think he's really getting more creative. Like, he's starting to, like, cover our weaknesses with more creative blitzing and with using some of our more talented defenders in unique ways. Like, putting Iffy out there and using him as a weapon is a revelation. And, So, I mean, I think Glenn is just hitting all cylinders right
now.
I
would say all cylinders. Another weapon back is great. There's been improvements.
Hey, but Rudd, you're right to mention that, though, because Aaron Glenn should get some credit where credit is due. the defense is playing really well right now.
Like, we have weaknesses, Z. No, we have weaknesses, and we're playing good defense. We're playing good defense. It's not world-beating defense. We're not destroying teams, but we're stingy, and we make plays, and we make people pay for plays. I mean, this defense is not a perfect defense, and we never were going to be a perfect defense this year, but we're a feisty defense. We're an aggressive defense, and we are a hard-hitting defense, and that is a recipe for success in the league, especially when you got our offense.
Yep.
Yeah, the defense just has to be okay enough to, you know, to support this offense, which is beastly.
But they carry the offense. I mean, they carry sometimes. Like, they aren't like a complete liability or anything. Like, we get stops, we get turnovers.
No, you're right.
Sure, we give up a bunch of yards sometimes, but, like, that's the NFL. Like, not many defenses are just downright stingy to the point of shutting out gains of yards. Like, I mean, some of the top guys do it from time to time, but it's so hard to stop offenses in the NFL.
Yes, and if he had a nasty hit on Dockinson over the middle, that unfortunately has ended Dockinson's season and probably half of next season.
That was a
shame. He
tore
his ACL on that hit.
I mean, Hawk was having a great year. It was a shame to see that.
Yeah.
But on the iffy point,
just real quick, I think prior to Detroit did a poll who should have been the player of the game, and they had Amon-Ra, who had like 100 catches in that game. And, the most boring receiver in the world.
Don't put Rudd Dog to sleep, UJ.
Yeah, I know. Jahmyr Gibbs and Goff, and he had all these. And the fan voting picked iffy as the player of that game. So that just tells you the impact he's having. Everyone sees it. He's having just a great impact. And I'm happy for him, too, because he's had a rough start to his career injury-wise. And, we were talking about him not making the roster, remember, at the beginning of the year? And here he is suddenly shining brightly, incredible, so much fun to watch.
And they're using
him
well.
So much fun.
Yeah, yes. Him in the box is lethal. They have really unlocked something there.
He closes so fast on his blitzes. The one where he shot up the gap and just destroyed freaking Mullins was so good. Dude is a rocket out there. That's a revelation. Like, using him this way has been a masterstroke. And he's still got the speed and the ability to play the deep ball, too. Like,
Studley, they're using him extremely well, and I think it's really funny that the Lions had 4 sacks in this game, 3 of which were from defensive backs.
Yeah, no kidding. However, they can get it done.
That's where you got to give Glenn credit. He's figuring out ways to get it done because the weapons he has are uniquely, you know, like our defensive pass rush on the front line just hasn't been what it needs to be this year. So he's figuring out a way. And like, I'm going to bring up this comparison one more time because. Freaking Bob Sanders is one of the great examples of how dynamic safety play can be such a boon to a team in the playoffs.
Never heard that comparison before.
I don't think I've ever made it before, but I don't care. It's a great comparison that leads to us winning a Super Bowl. So
it is.
Oh yeah, absolutely. A great safety. A great player at any position is a big boom, but yeah, it's a safety.
True. Which we have like couple coming back, like CeeDee Deuce and Houston and potentially Aleem. Like, oh my God, like talk about how things could be lining up for a great run here. Like,
yeah, that'd be why it'd be even better to get that bye if we can. We still need some help, but get Aleem back and everything like that.
But the stars are aligning a bit here. So, if the football gods are in our favor, we're going to see a fairly healthy Lions team going into these playoffs.
Knocking wood. There's still 2 games left.
Oh, yeah. We still got a couple games.
I know.
So the defense and the outside with Dorsey and Vildor kind of rotating out there. Vildor seems to play more in rundowns, Dorsey in pass. It seems to be working okay.
Except for the one series where Dorsey got completely exposed for like 3 plays in a row and a touchdown. I don't think he's exactly the answer.
No.
He's honestly the same type as Jerry Jacobs, which is a playmaker who can sometimes put tight coverage on, but is a bit of a liability.
That's why I'm saying, like, don't throw it out the window that CJ Gardner-Johnson doesn't move to the outside. That's where he started his career.
Yeah. And theoretically, if he could move to corner, he was a corner coming in the league. So I don't know.
I bet he gets looks out there, but I don't think they're going to rely on him heavy for pass coverage.
Yeah.
But I think you might do that with CJ, just the way Iffy and Kirby have started to play. And you got Branch, Lions too. He'll play. I'm sure he'll play some outside, too.
Yeah. Well, they do need help on there. That's probably the weakest link of the Stevens. Well, besides pass rush on the interior. But when Aleem's not healthy.
Or whoever's opposite of Hutch.
You know what? Every team going into these playoffs has some weakness. There's no perfect team out there. Right. I mean, all of them. The Niners have weaknesses. You put a little pressure on their offensive line has not been the greatest.
A lead going into the fourth quarter. The 49ers under Shanahan have never won a game in the fourth quarter when trailing from behind.
Again, like I say, every team has some weakness that can be exposed. And it's just, you know, is do your strengths outplay the other person's strengths? Or I don't know.
The focused will that Dan Campbell has like fostered here is why, like what we talked about earlier in this culture and everything, that's what leads to this success. It's what gives you a chance. It puts you in the ballpark. But like that energy Dan Campbell fosters in that bought in image, that's why it's so important. You have to have the talent to kind of reach the threshold. But once you're in that threshold, if you got a great team effort, you will find success and you have as good a chance as anybody of pulling it all off. It's just about getting to the big show, the tournament, and getting in and then just keep putting one foot in front of the next and taking on one team at a time.
And before we move on to the offense, just one more defensive player I want to mention John Kaminsky. Pick up the ball, man. Just fall on it.
Yes.
The game's over if you fall on the ball.
Fall on it.
Yeah, that was bad.
Game over. Oh, fall on it.
He had to be the happiest guy in the world on that pick.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
He got a little excited.
Oh, man.
The end zone.
Just fall on it.
Thought he was going to be a hero there, running in for a touchdown.
I can relate. I once had a chance to field a punt on a coverage and walk it right into the end zone, but I got so excited about going to the end zone, I just forgot to actually catch the ball and just whiffed on it.
I remember that game.
But one other player I have to mention who doesn't show up necessarily on the stat sheet as much. I don't know what it says, but Jack Campbell and the way that Glenn has started to use him, he's acting as like a fullback on defense and just taking out O-linemen. Like, if you go back and watch the replay, you're going to have to see this because it's freaking awesome. He just rushes in, not blitzing, just straight jacks up the O-line and drives him out to create a space. Like, I think the running back caught Hutch on the loop after that. But, like, they're working on clever ways to free Hutch more and get him some help. Mm. And that's, like, a cool development to me because, I mean, Jack Campbell is probably one of the few linebackers who can actually do that. He's like a size of a lineman almost.
So, wait, so just to give more detail to that. So there, but is Hutch lining up far? Campbell comes in, hits the tackle first, and then Hutch is looping
like
in?
There's one, like where Hutch, or like, yeah, Hutch would like line up on his end spot and like do like a stunt to the inside, and like where Campbell would have just blasted out the guard or whatever player it was on the O line and try to, like, I think the one time I watched the running back and like the right tackle and guard managed to like rally a defense, but like, man, there was a hole. If I think it's going to be something we'll continue to see because I saw it a couple times.
Oh, awesome! Man. Yeah, I'll go back and look for that.
Yeah,
when I rewatch.
It's cool.
I've not been able to rewatch this game yet, unfortunately, with the holiday, but I will this week.
It reminds me of when Clay Matthews, the way they would block set up plays for Clay Matthews as a Packer, they basically would like sacrifice their D linemen to like drive holes open to let Clay Matthews work his way around. And like, you remember that, Dad?
I do. UJ, I very much do.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I love that creativity.
Yeah. You look at the defensive line in the way an offense would look at their offensive line. You create holes for your blitzers. And that's what they're starting to do now. And yeah, you're right. That's a good observation. And Campbell, so cool. I'm telling you, Campbell is very quickly living up to his first round draft status. I think the kid's playing great football.
I agree.
He's in so many tackles. He's great against the run. He might need a little seasoning in the passing game, but I'm telling you, this kid he's a player.
I agree, UJ. I think he's working towards his breakout game. I think like he's going to hit one this year, like still, because he's just playing rock solid football and hasn't quite been able to show up on the stat sheet a whole bunch. But I think the more he just settles in, we're going to see a bigger and bigger games come from that guy. I think we're going to see one of those splash games where he makes some key plays.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, let's shift this conversation to the team that just scored 30 against one of the best defenses in the NFL. That's, of course, the Detroit Lions.
All
offense.
Right.
Great game from Jared Goff. 30 for 40, 257 yards and a touchdown. He did get sacked once, and it was his fault.
He had
plenty of room to escape to the right.
You ran the
and he decided
way.
To turn around his blind side and run right into a sack. So,
yeah,
sometimes it
bad
happens
sense of the pocket there.
But besides that, great game out of him, just spreading the ball all around. Amon-Ra, as you mentioned, 12 catches, 106 yards and a touchdown. Just doing the work. That was on 14 targets.
That's incredible.
Beast of the game. So just so reliable. Just knows how to find the where to go and where to be. And Goff and him have great chemistry.
I think we should do Hendon Hooker, you guys. He's the rookie, definitely going to be better.
Waiting in. Forget about
it. There was a drive in that game. I was talking to my mom during the game. She pointed out, like, he hit all his receivers. And I was like, I think it was one drive where he hit, like, Laporta. He hit Raymond. He hit Sonny Brown. He hit Gibbs. He hit, like, literally, like, Reynolds. He hit everybody. He was just absolutely spreading that ball around. Mm-hmm. Like he had all the answers for that defense.
Just really fun. The way this offense is operating, and the way the run game, they just do so many motions and do you give Ben Johnson, obviously gets a lot of clarity. He's the one calling it in, but Dan Campbell, I think, has a big foot in this offense, and it's just been really fun to see. Another guy, the development has been great the last couple of weeks. That is Jameson Williams. He only had five catches for 43 yards in this game. But the way they're using him now is so much. They're finally letting him run the route tree. Like, he had a hitch for, like, 6 yards. Like, that's what you need. Set it up. Set up the bomb. Don't still run the nine every play. And they're finally opening up the route tree for him later in the season here. Maybe that's what they've been.
Yeah.
That was the roadmap the whole time here. I don't know, but it's great to see.
And he has remarkable moves, actually. Like, when he
slippery.
Makes a catch, and he's way more slippery than people give him credit for. You know, avoiding tackles, getting an extra 3, 4, 5 yards.
That first down he got near the end zone?
That was sick. That was
absolutely
awesome.
Great effort.
Oh, my God. This kid is really, he's I like the way he's coming on gradually. Like, he's building up, and we're, like, everything's building at the right time, and him especially is building.
And he's got great hands now. The concerns about the hands
seems
just completely gone away. So
he's not that kid on the Little Giants anymore.
I honestly
couldn't catch the.
Do you think Dan Campbell was, like, jabbing him with that quote back, like, a few months ago when he's like, oh, maybe he won't be like the great hands receiver ever, but he doesn't need to be.
I don't doubt it.
Very possible.
I don't doubt it.
Man,
anyway, like, I love this kid, his attitude, everything about him that is just really, it's playing out now. Mm-hmm. And I see what they saw in him, you know?
Yeah. He's got that grit. Like he's not a diva.
No, and he's got toughness too. Him and Gibbs both. Must be the Alabama thing, maybe. I don't know. They're kind of...
They're one-year
Alabama.
Well,
Gibbs is more well put together. Jameson is a little scrawny and skinny and all that, but they're tough dudes, man. They take the hits. They get up. They mm-hmm. bounce right up. And they're tough. They're tough dudes, man.
And again,
and you know, like... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just can't understand enough how important it is to have this offensive line fully healthy, how this team operates at full health at offensive line. It just opens up so many more things. I mean, time in the pocket is king in the NFL.
Yeah.
If I mean, we've seen it with our defense. You don't get after the quarterback, things are going to break down for any defense. And when we have the fully healthy offensive line, Taylor Decker probably had his best game of the year in this game.
Yep. So did Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah Jackson. I mean, this offensive line just was phenomenal. I mean, when you get 4 yards of carry against this defense, 257 yards, mm-hmm. control the ball for a two to one ratio throughout the game. It doesn't get much better than that. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, this offensive line, and like the great thing is like with an offensive line like this, you don't get as scared of like these teams with the great defensive lines because, you know, obviously it's going to be harder, but we can beat anybody. Like because right. once you get if the O-line can handle their business up front, everything opens up. The run, the pass, it all like it all starts there, man. And like that is the building block of this team. That is the foundation of this team, is that offensive line.
Hey, I'm going to call out one other really good play during this game. The Lions had fourth and like almost two. It was like one and a half, whatever. And they did a Jared Goff quarterback sneak. I go,
yeah, great call.
Yes.
What a great call.
I mean, we rarely see that, so it was a great call.
I don't know if Goff calls it at the line or they call it. I think he probably calls it at the line just the way the defense is set up or whatever, but I was not looking for that one. Not from that far. You know, like fourth and inches, okay. But this is fourth and almost 2 yards. It was like a long one and a half or whatever. And they made it cleanly, man. It was beautiful. Great blocking. I don't know. That was a great play in my mind.
It is a great play.
This offense is just firing on all cylinders, hitting at all different types of levels, the flat, mid, intermediate, the deep routes.
They clearly scouted their after that freaking Bears loss and realized I think they were leaning into their tendencies to the middle of the field a little too much and have since adjusted. You saw it last week with all the great hot route fades to Reynolds and stuff like that, and like they're running sideline routes a lot more, like you said, and I think that like keeps these defenses a little more honest. I mean, the Bears have a good defense too, but like it was just so clear that they were just cluttering the middle of the field and getting Jared's favorite routes covered because he's so good over the middle.
He is.
Five touchdowns within breaking routes. come on. The first time ever. That's ridiculous.
And the Lions did, I mean, roughly without Sam Laporta contributing too much. 3 catches for 18 yards in this game. But, I mean, that just shows the versatility. Anybody can step up any time. I think maybe an underrating. I mean, we liked the trade when it happened at the trade deadline. The Lions made one move. Donovan Peoples-Jones had another clutch catch in this game. It was one catch.
Yeah.
But it converted a first down at a key moment in the game.
I hope he wins the Super Bowl with the winning catch so that everyone can look like be like, what was Brad thinking? That's what he was thinking.
a great fifth wide receiver to have on a team, a guy with those athletic traits.
Absolutely. And
clearly can catch traffic really well. The way he's
this receiving crew is quietly one of the best in the NFL, period.
Yeah, it looks different than maybe your typical best wide receiver.
Exactly. Well, you don't have the dynamic outside superstar Jamar Jefferson's or Jamar Chase or whatever. Whoever.
J-Mo.
But damn it. We just are. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, we're different. We're in non-conventional receiving core because our best receiver is our slot receiver. And then, our number one receiver is just a rock solid dude, but like you said, not the super dynamic type. Got the body size though, and he's just gritty. But, also, Raymond, made two outstanding catches in that game to the sideline. The one where he landed with his elbow right inside the line, and then the other one for the first down after he got the penalty. He is such a nice, like, depth piece, like, and he's dangerous.
Yeah, for sure. He's a Campbell dude.
Yeah, I mean, they ran that super trick play to him. You know, you don't just run that play to him because he's like your third. You know, you ran it because for a reason. The dude can hurt you, and he got like 10 yards on it, I think, in the first down, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Also, I love using Monty as a quarterback because he was one in high school. So, like, use your weapons, baby.
I'm trying to think of a comparable wide receiver group. The first thing that came to mind, I was trying to look at the roster of the Steelers in 2014 when Antonio Brown had his best year. Because Antonio Brown, like, is out of the slot. They kind of operated in somewhat a similar way. Is 10 catches a game, 100 yards, etc. Not quite
Debo
comparable.
A slot guy? Huh? Is Debo's not an out guy? Debo Samuel? Guy, is he? Yeah, he's not an outside guy.
No, he's,
not. He's a little more.
They use him out of the backfield a lot more than the Lions ever with Amon-Ra.
Right.
Though we do.
At times, but like Debo is getting like 7 carries a game. So
I know they use him as more of a. Well, yeah, I mean, they run him a little differently, but he's not like an outside receiver. Is like it, when he lines up, he's usually in the slot, right? Like he's a.
Yes. Just not as.
I'm trying to think of.
Exclusively, I guess. Yeah. Well, we don't think of that. But
you know, Dad, you mentioned not having a Jamar Jefferson, and I feel like even as we talk about him, we forget that like that's what J-Mo is. Like he's an outside receiver, not Jamar Jefferson, but he's a dynamic superstar potential number one on the perimeter. Right. He's not a slot guy, though he could run the slot easy enough with his.
But right now, he's potential number one because we haven't seen it quite
right
yet.
But like he's also coming along at the right time where I could easily see him taking over some of that, especially with the big yard plays and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like he's going to go off the way he's going. Oh, man.
We still haven't just chucked it to him yet, which a little disappoints me a little bit. You know, I just want to see us just freaking send him long let Goff to throw it as hard as he can throw it, as far as he can throw. And chuck a couple to J-Mo. We have not seen that yet.
We haven't quite seen it. The last time I remember it exclusively, successfully, was against the Bears in our comeback.
I
believe it was 36.
Yeah, that one for sure.
I mean, we've done a few deep shots to him, but they haven't been just 9 routes. And they've been like ones where he's broken wide open or like we haven't like just done a design 9 route to him where. You just chuck it.
Yeah, we definitely haven't seen the game where he takes it over, like where we saw like George Pickens on Thursday in that Steelers game against the Bengals, Amari Cooper this weekend, 240 yards against the Texans.
Right. No, he's not that guy. He's not necessarily that guy yet, but he's right on the edge of it now that he's healthy and putting these games together, and we could potentially suddenly have a true number one.
Well, that's the important point there. He is on the edge of being that.
And they used him kind of like that. He was the number two on the outside from Reynolds in this game.
We all know he can be that guy. Like the Lions didn't trade up for him not to be that guy.
Right.
So,
because his build, again, he's not a short receiver either, despite his lankiness. Like, he's like 6'1", I think, right?
Yes, I believe so. Jared Goff, 27 touchdowns in the season and 10 interceptions. He's third in the league in passing yards, too, at 3,984. He's two.
That's pretty
amazing. He's 66 behind Brock Purdy at two, and then 230 behind Tua for number one in the league in passing yards.
That's more of a.
That's amazing, actually.
Run game.
That's amazing if you think about it.
It is. Just really good all around. And just a reminder, the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer in their history. Always a fun little tidbit.
If we didn't have such a good run game, he'd probably have
and you know, he's right behind Goff is Mahomes, Prescott, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, Stafford, Jalen Hurts. A lot of people who they put in top tens, you know, ahead of Goff all the time. And then here he is above. All those guys.
This is Goff can't make the flashy running plays.
Yes. A lot of those guys can. Goff definitely cannot.
I really think just in the, Drew Brees. The cosmic world of karma and all that, I just really hope Goff takes us to that Super Bowl, baby, and wins it for us. It's,
through
it would
Stafford.
Be maybe one of the sweetest things ever for so many people. I mean, besides us Lions fans who've been dying for it, but you know, just to see Goff do it when it, and the stuff he's gone through, you know, and Goff's kind of an epitome almost of a Lions fan if you think about it. I mean, he struggled a lot. I mean, he, you know, the Rams dissed him and they didn't, all of a sudden he fell out of favor and all that stuff. And he was the number one quarterback, number one draft pick. And then he went through a lot of trials and tribulations and all of a sudden he's resurrected himself. He's a cool customer, man. Like Rud Dog, you were saying during the game, he was ice cold, man. Like
ice in the veins.
He just ice in his veins, man. He just like, he stays calm no matter what. He, you know, he doesn't, nothing gets too big for him. He makes the big play. I'm telling you, he's just
like,
he's been playing. He's had such a great year. I mean, yeah. he's not really in the MVP talk. He should be, but he's having a great season.
You know, UJ, I think like I notice it the most when it's not even necessarily the big plays. It's just when he's like down in like the red zone, delivering these like slinging passes right in between defenders and stuff. And it's just like, you got to have ice in your veins to just trust yourself and deliver like that, man. Like, that's hard. Like, and quarterbacks fail at that all the time in the league. Like, and he just makes it look like it's like easy sometimes, man. It's so good.
Yeah.
I do think it's really important that the Lions get that home field advantage because Jared Goff's stats at home are like significantly better than on the road. But even more importantly,
have home field advantage.
Yes. And but even more importantly is being in a dome or warm weather where he also has.
Oh, my God.
Stats.
I'm not going to.
If Goff goes into cold weather,
we'll win everywhere.
In the playoffs, well, I'm just saying.
Like, what were you just going to forget? I'd much prefer to see him in a place Rodgers where last year in.
I'd much rather see a Goff in a location where he has the best chance to succeed. Because I mean,
I want to see him in like Siberia.
This is not new. Well, that's just not.
I want to see him in Siberia against the 49ers. I think we
in,
take
in a
it.
Parking lot behind Walmart and
icy,
yeah,
windy absolutely. Day, rain. I bet he's still
they have Walmart
and 30 in a hurricane.
Oh, Campbell would love that shit, man.
Yeah. You guys, this is what we live for.
You play us, I don't care where we play you. Doesn't right. matter. And then these guys believe it too, man. That's what I love too.
Absolutely.
The last little quick tidbit here is Michael Badgley and the special teams blocked extra point. Can't have that happen. I haven't gone back to look at it again. Like, was it a low kick or was it just bad blocking? Do you guys know?
I don't know.
I forgot.
They really didn't dwell on the replay much. I think they.
I lean on bad blocking. It's a short kick. You just got to kick it high.
Oh, it's gotta be.
Yeah,
kick it high. Yeah. That's your one job. Kick it high and straight.
It's amazing the NFL how that 1 point, like at the end of the game, that was like a huge one point.
Definitely,
I mean, the Vikings scored a touchdown.
It definitely could have burned us. Luckily, Iffy is playing out of his mind right now, and a great pass
from a
Nick
deep
Nolan.
Safety.
The other thing I want to add too is that Jack Fox I thought had a really good game punting.
He did.
He had a great punt.
Very good game.
They called it back because of a penalty. He nailed another great punt right after. So that was cool to see.
He did. I think it was we lost maybe 4 yards on
right.
that total.
Exactly.
Like it was a great. Two great punts in a row. Fantastic.
Oh, that was great. He freaking came back to back right after a letdown like that.
So we're at the hour mark here. I think we can start to wrap it up. But, man, the vibes, the Kool-Aid, everything is flowing at incredible rate right now. It's great.
I just want to say just one thing before we shut down here. Lions fans, just enjoy this ride, man. This ride has been so incredible. And I've been a Lions fan. I'm 65, okay? I'm an old dude on this podcast. I'm the old guy. I give the old guy respect.
You qualify for Medicare now, I think.
However, I'm on the Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid podcast because I'm always optimistic. Every year, no matter what, I always start out optimistic that the Lions are going to do something well. They've finally done something in my lifetime that I've never seen before. This coaching staff, this organization has put together something so special. So no matter what happens, I mean, if we go all the way or we don't go all the way, it doesn't matter. Just enjoy this ride, man. This ride has been incredible. Our offense is a sight to behold, man. I've never seen anything like it. Okay. This offense is one of the best in the NFL in any year. I mean, maybe we might not be number one in this, there, whatever, but it's number one in my book because this offense is exciting. They're interesting. They're dynamic. They're creative. And our defense is just, they're not the greatest, but they are gritty and they go after it and they're hard. They hit hard. They play hard. This whole team plays hard. They're all a product of Dan Campbell and his personality, and just love it, man. Just no matter what happens, be grateful because this is awesome. This is just awesome. And I just want to say, just be grateful, man. This is a time of the year to be grateful for things in our lives. And I'm grateful for this. So that's all I want to say.
Well said.
It's a beautiful way to end it, UJ. I love it. So we'll wrap it up here. Thanks to everybody for listening here. We hope you had a great holiday. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Thank you to our producer, Kid J. Our best one yet, I think.
Ever. Best ever.
Good one.
So thank you for him crushing it throughout the whole year here, especially as we head into the new year, an exciting year with the Lions playoffs, which is guaranteed now, especially a home game Super Bowl in Detroit. Bound.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's so much fun. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter /X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about this Lions team. Do you think we get the one seed? I think we all think we got a great shot.
We're good.
We got a big game this Saturday. The Lions are underdogs. The Lions are going for a one seed. They're underdogs this week. You got to love it.
What's the spread on this?
5.5 right now, last I checked.
What?
A couple hours ago.
Oh, my God.
That's a large spread.
We get to
for team.
We're going to Dallas, right?
Yes, we are going to Dallas. Yeah. This is a Saturday night game.
Crap on Dallas.
There's no Monday night game this week. It's moved to Saturday night. So you got, you know, Troy Aikman.
I hate Dallas.
Wait, Saturday night?
Yeah, December 30th. Saturday night. 7:15, 5:15 Pacific. So, Rud Dog, it sounds like you might have an issue with that, but I think you'll work
through
it.
I was so excited because game started earlier.
Well, you just got to stay up a little later. You got to stay up past 8:30 for this one.
I'm going to be at work.
Well, I think you'll make it work. I think you'll make it
I'll
work.
Figure something
yes,
out.
You'd,
we'll figure it out.
Or that.
This more important things, boss.
Yes, exactly.
This is where it's worth it to lose your job, right?
Exactly. I think this is time to just let it go.
So, so Gmail.
Because the next big monkey is to take out the first or get a playoff win.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Baby.
We've had one in the Super Bowl era. Let's multiply that, or let's double it to two.
No multiplication. Summit.
Well, I was going to say multiply by 100%, but it's just, that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, don't multiply by one anything.
Increase that by 100%, I should say, rather. Anyways.
No, 200%.
Gmail, if you want to correspond with us that way through email, it's drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com. Other than that, Spotify, Apple, or your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. We greatly appreciate that. And we appreciate, most of all, most importantly, this Lions team and these Lions fans. The players couldn't say it enough. The city deserves it. The fan base deserves it for sticking. I mean, the Lions fans at every road game this year have come
the best.
Out and
the best.
I mean, they are all so over good. The place. It is awesome to see. It gets everybody, I guess these players going too, like even on the road when you see that many fans there, like they want to perform for them. They want to play at the very best they can.
Heck yeah.
And it is an absolute delight. So thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back later this week previewing Saturday Night Football in Dallas, in Jerry World, the big game, probably definitely every game from now on is the biggest game of the year for the Lions. And we can't wait to preview that. So look out for that.
Can't wait.
What's that, UJ?
We can't wait to destroy the friggin' Cowboys. I hate
destroyed
so much.
Well, they were showing that Barry Sanders run before the game on Sunday because Jimmy John, at least on the Fox preview show, because Jimmy Johnson was the coach of the Cowboys when the Lions last beat them. So,
yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, how do they become America's team? That's bullshit. Yeah. I'm sorry, but America's team. Ever since they gave them that label, I've hated them immensely. So I just relish any time we could beat the hell out of them. So I can't wait to beat the hell out of them.
Well, we'll be back later this week previewing that game. We can't wait. So come back and join us. Yeah. But most importantly, last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.